All right. Well, we're in no rush today, but before we begin, why don't we bring our hearts before the Lord and just let's speak to Him for a little bit. And I'll give us just a moment of silence just to pray to Him, and then we'll begin, okay? Heavenly Father, we want to come before you as your children, younger ones, older ones, middle-aged ones. We just come before you in humility, and we come before you in anticipation of what you will show us this morning. We invite you into our midst, whether we're at home, at church, that your presence would fill our hearts and our space that we're in, and that because of who you are, that our circumstances and whatever that is going through in our minds, in our hearts, that those would be dwindle in the light of your greatness and your love and your power. So we look to you because you are unchanging. We look to you because, Lord, you have a great plan for all of us, and you are in our midst. And for that, we give you thanks, we worship you, we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Okay. Can you guys see the slide?
Yes.
All right. That's the first question. Jesus in Deuteronomy. Okay. So we're kind of still in the Shema, but we're kind of moving away too. We're going to progress a little bit this time. Okay. Last week, we spent a lot of time going over different ways and signs and reminders that we use in our daily life, right? To remember and teach our children God's word and laws. Do any of you remember where we actually left off last week? Can someone mute everyone's mic? And then you can open it up if you can answer. I asked not because I actually forgot. Do you guys remember exactly where we left off? I know we were talking about the signs, right? And I remember that Pastor Alex showed us the beautiful signs his children has made. If I'm not mistaken, we left off wondering how do we fulfill the laws of God? Let me go to my... So we were here, right? And I know that we asked this question, does this fulfill Yahweh's requirement for signs on your hand and frontlets between your eyes? And Pastor James gave us an emphatic no, right? That was the answer, right? So and even through last week, we went over all the ways that we can remember God's laws, God's words in our daily lives. We still came to the conclusion that this is not the way that we can fulfill this law. So then how is Yahweh's command fulfilled? I don't think we actually got to the bottom of this. So can we spend 5 minutes of talking about it? We'll get to that, but I just want to have 5 minutes of kind of refreshing our memory and bring our minds up to speed again on this. How do we do it then? If we can't, all these signs don't help. How do we fulfill this law? Daniel, can you break us up into groups of three? All right, everyone's back. See, I actually do prefer the some of the noises too, because it lets me know that you guys are there. Again, I prefer to be there in person with y'all so I can see you, smell you, touch you. Maybe you don't want the same, but I like the visceral interaction. So how do we fulfill it? Anybody in your group that were able to kind of come up with an answer or no answer? Right. If the answer is no, and we talked about all the things that we can do last week, which are not bad things, it's actually very good. But if the answer is no, how do we do it? How is it done? You know, I had a very tough week answering this question myself. Unfortunately, I picked this topic, so I have to look into it and learn it, right? I should have given this topic to Pastor Alex, but I had a really hard time preparing. Out of all the Bible studies or Sunday schools, this was tough. There were so many things, and I had to really also ask God, hey, how do you fulfill this, and how do I organize all this information? So it's okay if you had a hard time answering it, or you didn't know the answer, or it seems a bit ambiguous. But I think if you allow me, we'll all attempt to give you guys a hint into how do we fulfill this law. If the answer is no, by all this stuff putting in front of your eyes and your forehead, your arms, around the house, memorizing verses, listening to music, all of that doesn't work, then we're not fulfilling it. Well, that's why, you know, we look into this next passage in Deuteronomy. I think that will give us some clue. Whoops. Right. Deuteronomy 18:15. And it reads, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from amongst you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen." And the word is Shema here. It is to him you shall Shema. A new prophet. And this is being, this is what Moses said to the Israelites, as he's obviously, laying out the laws, right? And I'm not sure if Moses understood what he was saying, but this is the premier passage that in Deuteronomy that points to the coming Messiah, to Jesus. You know, it's been said that all of the Bible points to Jesus. It's his story and not ours. And Deuteronomy is no exception. I think everything points to Jesus, and this is one of the main passages that is most fascinating, I think. Now, Moses did not know that. Did not know when he said this that a prophet in the future will come. He's thinking a prophet probably better than him. He can't speak very well, right? We all know that he was very timid at first. He gets angry at the people of God, and he gets frustrated. So he doesn't know a lot of. He must have felt very inadequate as a prophet for God. But he says, God himself will raise up a prophet, probably much better than me, a better speaker, a better teacher, someone more patient, someone better than him. But little did he know that the prophet he's talking about is Jesus, right? It's not going to be just a little bit better than him. It's going to be God himself. And it is this passage that gives meaning to the event in feeding the 5,000 in John, which we were studying many months ago. Right, this passage in John 6:14 of Jesus feeding the 5,000, when the people saw the sign, when Jesus fed everyone with the loaves and the fish, they said, this is indeed the prophet, right? This indeed is the prophet who is come into the world. Now, this prophet language in John was crucial to as an indicator of the prophecy being fulfilled by what we just read from Moses. Moses was just saying this. So it's no surprise that Jesus would be studying Deuteronomy. If you remember what Pastor Alex was saying when Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted by Satan, and everything that he said with to respond to the temptation was from Deuteronomy. So it's no surprise that Jesus would be studying Deuteronomy, knowing full well that he was a prophet prophesied by Moses. So he's literally reading Deuteronomy. He's reading Deuteronomy 18, that a prophet would be raised from amongst you. And he's reading about himself. He says, that's me. I'm that prophet that God, through Moses, prophesied. Is that interesting? That he knew that he had to fulfill that prophecy. Anyone have any thoughts about that? I think just that alone is quite interesting. And does anyone remember what happens right after this verse in John 6:14? They said, you're the prophet. You're the coming prophet that Moses was talking about, and that you're the one we should Shema, right? We've been waiting for this coming prophet. And do you know what happens after this verse? In verse 15. I didn't put it on here. But do you guys remember? Hello? Anybody? Anybody?
They wanted to make Jesus king?
Yes. They wanted to make Jesus king. And Jesus says, yes, I am your king. Receive me. Put the crown on me. I come here to save the world from your sins. What did Jesus do? Jesus kind of did the opposite, huh?
He went to the mountains and he by himself and prayed.
Yeah. Yeah. He left. He says, no, this is not the time. And the reason being is, and this is important, that Jesus came to fulfill the law. That's what the Bible says. He came here to fulfill the law, not to crown himself as king at that time. To fulfill the law and to fulfill what God wanted him to do, which is to die on the cross. That is not a simple thing, not a comfortable mission. But Jesus did not come to fulfill what he wanted to do, but he came to fulfill what the Father wanted to do. So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Let's also take this opportunity to look at the definition of a prophet. Very simple. A prophet in Greek, prophetes, is an interpreter or spokesman for God, one through whom God speaks. And in Hebrew, naveh is spokesperson or the speaker. So it's pretty self-explanatory, but it's good to know, to see that that this is who Jesus was. He was a spokesperson for the Father. Now, knowing this, let's take a look at how God speaks to his people in the Old Testament. You see on the left, that we see, you know, Yahweh, God speaks to Moses, and then he speaks to the people of God, right? And then on the right, you see in the New Testament, it would be when Jesus comes on the scene, it would be God speaking to Jesus, and Jesus speaks to the people of God. So it would be obviously ideal now look for us as Christians to say, yeah, of course, Jesus would be the most direct spokesperson. He would be the ideal prophet to speak to us, right? So my question is, what is the big deal between these two? What is the big deal that Jesus is the prophet, where he would be the spokesperson? Right, we see to the left through Moses, and then the right through Jesus. What's the big deal? How is that any different? That Moses would speak to us and Jesus would speak to us.
But Jesus was the Son of God, Frank.
Yes, yes. But could Moses have... Could God raise another Moses amongst us and speak to us just the same? You're right, Scott. Yeah, but maybe, you know, there's another Moses, a modern day Moses. You know, if I grew my beard out a little longer, maybe I can pass for someone who looks like from the Old Testament, and God uses me or you, right? What's the big deal?
There's no time limit, and Jesus is everywhere, anytime, anywhere, with everyone.
Okay. Yeah. That is certainly a big deal, Mabel. Yeah. Anything else? Yeah, well, we're getting, I think we're kind of close. That's a main point. But, you know, I was just thinking, I'll play the devil's advocate, Mabel. With today's technology, if one person speaks, he can almost be at everywhere, every time through social media. I mean, we get one person speaks, you know, and the world can hear him.
They may be false prophets, though, too. That's dangerous in a way.
Oh, yeah. Let's assume Moses was not a false prophet, and he was God's chosen man.
Yeah. But today, there are very many false prophets out there. It's dangerous. Yeah. Oh, right. I can rely on Jesus, but not these new guys.
These new guys, right. Yeah. So that's very good. Thank you for reminding us. Be careful. And Jesus and the Bible does warn us. Hey, be careful. There's going to be many false prophets coming. Mm-hmm. What's the big deal? And the reason what I'm asking, I'm kind of probing, is not so that, you know, we're trying to just see who can get the right answer, but it is helping all of us exercise, work through some of these questions that we think is a matter of fact. We kind of know Jesus is the answer, right? Because I had to work through it. And trust me, I'm telling you, I had a hard time just working through this. I don't know why. Maybe because there's a blockage this week, but I had a hard time going through this. What's the big deal? And I had to kind of walk away. When I looked at this question, I had to walk away and just say, what is the big deal? He could have raised another Moses or another Elijah. Right, another Jeremiah, another Isaiah.
But none of them be able to give us the Holy Spirit to live within us and teach us every moment, explaining to us what God wants us to be.
What? Why did Jesus, why would Jesus be able to give us the Holy Spirit?
This is Son of God.
Because only Jesus is holy and he is qualified for the sacrifice ordained by God.
Yeah, who is that? Sorry, P-I-L-G-R.
Yeah, my name is Dali, Lida.
Dali. The spokesperson of God, not Jesus, but you just, yes. Thank you, Mabel. Thanks, Dali.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. It's good. I mean, when you said that, Dali, I was refreshed. I was reminded of why this is such a big deal, huh? And it's almost like this, right? That's what the diagram should look like. Jesus took out the middle. I mean, not Jesus. God took out the middleman. All right, no more middleman. it's direct. Jesus is the supreme prophet. He's the supreme prophet. What's the big deal? It's what Dali and Mabel said. Yeah, in mind that he's greater than all other. He's the one who sacrificed, and he is God's own son. Right. I love what, I don't know if this is directly quoted by R.C. Sproul, but I heard it from him. And he said, Jesus didn't just speak the word of God, like a prophet of the, you know, but he is the word of God, right? He actually is the Logos, the word in flesh. So, in the past, you have the prophet who's speaking. Oh, they're great. Yeah, and we look to them. We're like, oh, this guy, you know, God spoke to Moses directly, face to face. But he wasn't the word. Jesus was not only speaking the word of God. He himself was the word in flesh, talking to his disciples.
Hey, Frank, I have a quick question.
Yeah.
Just to ponder upon is that, what does it mean that when we say a person such as Jesus is the word of God? How can a person be word of God?
Wow. That's a good question. I have to think about that. How can a person be the word of God?
I think that refers to John.
John. Chapter 1:1
Because it says, oh, I'm sorry, is no.
John 1 in the beginning?
John 1:14 actually. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And also John 1:1 said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So I think that's why Jesus is not only Jesus is the living word of God, while the scripture is the physical word of God. I mean, I don't know how to describe more clearly, but yeah.
Thanks, Dolly. Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. That I was just wondering if I was to explain this to my 9-year-old Russell, these concepts are like, how can a person be word? Right? I mean, yeah, we can. That's exactly what the Bible says. But how do we understand that concept and be able to explain it or even, you know, apply it even?
Yeah. I see what you're saying. I you know, in John, what Dolly just mentioned is very biblical, and it is that's the answer. The word became flesh. But how do we get creative and actually teach it to a 9-year-old? How do we understand it in our own lives? Or even a 4-year-old or 3-year-old, if I was going to explain to, you know, to Jackson, how would you explain it? He doesn't know the Bible. I can't refer him to John chapter 1. I don't know if there's an answer. You guys, how would we get creative in kind of getting this concept? I like that question, Peter. So I want to stay on that a little bit. You know, that it's not what I intended, but I think it's something that we can think about. I think it's just fascinating to see that God himself became flesh, and his words has the power to create the heavens and the earth, just that in Genesis, right? So his word becoming flesh is in the form of a person, Jesus. But I think because we take what we know in terms of the Bible and how much resources we have for granted, that we forget that every word uttered by Jesus actually has power. It's changing us. That's why the word of God is so powerful. It is actually, there is power behind it. There is animation behind it. It's not a book, right? It is not words spoken by man, but spoken directly by God. Now, I thought about is that it's not a big deal if we've always had it, right? We've always had God's word, but it would be a big deal if God never spoke to you, but you desperately wanted to listen to it, to him. If he never spoke to you, then you would, when he does speak to you, then you would yearn for it. You would be so thankful for it. Do you guys remember here? You see that verse? Remember when in Numbers that Miriam and Aaron, who were Moses' brother and sister, came against him. And he says, hey, are you the one that God speaks to only? How come he doesn't speak to us? You know, you're not the only one. God speaks to us too. So God says to Moses, bring them before me. And God came down in a pillar of cloud. And he says to Aaron and to Miriam, says, hear my words. If there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth, clearly, and not in riddles. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? With Moses, God spoke publicly. God was saying this. And this is kind of why Jesus was called, you know, from a lot of theologians, the second Moses. Because Jesus, God spoke to Jesus directly, face to face. In fact, Jesus was God himself. But back to what Mabel and Dolly were sharing, what's the big deal? Is that he's speaking to us face to face now. We get to hear God face to face. And even more so, move this along.
Hey, Frank.
Yeah.
So I think that the question that we're discussing is really so important and pertinent to us, right? Because isn't that what we're looking at in Deuteronomy 6, that God gives to the people saying, the words that I give you today, that not only do you keep it in your heart, but you have to be diligent to teach it to your children, right? Mm. And I think when Peter was asking a question and you led us to kind of think about it, it's not just for the parents in our room, it's for the young people too, because if we know some concept in scripture, like, yeah, Jesus is the word, right? We know John 1:1, the word is God, the word was God, the word was with God. And then you have to think that the kid will ask, how can a word be a person? That's a legitimate question. And the fact that we are not equipped to answer, part of it exposes the area that we need to understand the Bible more. Because otherwise we just read it and we don't really understand it because we can't explain it. I love how you say, how about a six-year-old? How about a four-year-old? Because if we can't explain it for them to understand, then they won't understand God's word, right? Then they won't be reading God's word because it's difficult to understand, or it just seems so far out there, you know? Then that's a challenge we have. Actually, you know, that's something that we face in our family as well. And Cindy was just saying how we started to read the scripture to our kids, and we realized a lot of parts of the Bible they have so many questions about. Our children receive very, very good teaching in our church. I think our children's worship has, you know, in Sunday school has done a wonderful job. But the fact of the matter is, certain parts of the Bible, the story parts, are very familiar and being taught all the time. But there's so much about the Bible that is not being taught. And I don't think it's because it's not good. It's because we have to figure out a way to explain that makes sense. So it's a challenge God gives us to explain his word clearly, so that we understand it clearly first, and then we can send it to the kids, right? And so,
yeah.
if I could just maybe propose a few things for us to think about, right? Like,
yes.
The word being God, Peter said, how can a person be a word, right? How can a word be a person? Great question, because Jesus is not a person. There's no other person who is a word, because God, Jesus is both a man and God, right? And so that creates a concept that elevates who Christ is. He's not just a mere person, but he is not just a word, or he is the word. And what word is that? He is the word of God. He's literally the word of God. And that pushes us to think, what is the word of God? The word of God is actually, from that perspective, it is the power of God and is God himself, right? So for humans, we understand it as a word, but when God speaks, it's obviously not like we speak. But if we look at Genesis 1, I think we're talking about that. Genesis 1, God created with his word. That's for us to understand that God speaks. It comes with power, but it is really the embodiment of God, right? And so the concept is somewhat abstract, but we can understand a couple of things. Jesus is not just a man. He is man and he is God. Number two, the word of God is God's power. And then number three, the word of God is the way God communicates to us out of his love. And so if we understand that the word of God is God's means for us, right? We need words. That's what we're talking about, Shema. We need to listen to God. We need to learn to listen to God because God speaks. That's the way he communicates to us. And because we can't understand God, even through his spokesperson, the prophets throughout the history, God says, I'm sending his son. It's so great that Frank pointed us to Hebrews, right? Hebrews 1 says, over the years, people to speak to you, but you don't understand. You don't understand. So I am going to come down. I will become a man so that I, or Jesus, the Son of God, will be what? Not just a man on earth. It's Jesus is the message that God will speak to us out of his love, right? It's wonderful. It's amazing. But as we appreciate that, and I think we all know this, we just need to link it together. And when we appreciate it, I think we can distill it for our kids. You know, that's who Jesus is.
Right. Thank you, Pastor James. Jesus being the Word, Jesus being God. And how do we distill all of this? That's why I had such a hard time. Yes, I know the answer is Jesus. I know he is the Word. How do we communicate? And I think I'm presenting these passages, kind of link it together. But certainly I am still trying to understand it more for myself so I can teach it to my kids and teach it to myself. And that's what this on this journey that we're on. And even for your younger folks here too, you may be saying, this is kind of ambiguous. This is kind of high up there with all these words, right? But I think it's good even for you guys to start thinking, who is Jesus? Why is his word so important? And what's the big deal of having Jesus speaking to me directly? What is the big deal, right? There's more. Not finished yet, though. There's more. I don't leave us on a cliffhanger, right? Someone mentioned this earlier. Mabel and Dolly, they kind of set the tone, right? It's through Jesus and because of Jesus that God sends the Spirit to us and baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. Don't just gloss over this, because this is so, so important. Somebody says, because Jesus is everywhere. How is Jesus everywhere? Jesus is a person and God, yes, but he was not everywhere while he's on earth, right? And Holy Spirit is everywhere. And he's in our hearts. Okay? Remember Jesus saying after he resurrected and appeared to his disciples, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Who was the promise of the, what was the promise of the Father? The Holy Spirit. And in John 14, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all I have said to you. Did you catch this in John 14? To bring to your remembrance, what have we been told to be reminded of God's word and laws in the Shema? Do you guys remember? We've been on this, right? God tells us to remember his words day and night. So we have God sending his son Jesus as a prophet to be the spokesperson. But not only that, Jesus is the supreme prophet. He is the word of God. He is God himself speaking to us. But by what Jesus has done, and he died on the cross, because of him, the Father is able to send the Holy Spirit to those who believe in Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is in us. He baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. He is in us. He brings teaches us and brings to our remembrance all that Jesus has said. And if you go back to the Shema, it says, you shall teach him diligently, your children. You shall talk to them while you're sitting and, you know, when you're sitting and when you're lying down, when you're sleeping, when you're awake. Again, I'm paraphrasing, right? But you have the verse in front of you. How can one love the Lord, your God, with everything all the time? Remember his commands on our hearts day and night, in front of our eyes and, you know, and on our heads and our minds throughout the course of our life, everything. How can that happen? How do we fulfill this law? How can we do it? We can't. Can we? Can we do it? We can't. That's the point. I think the Shema and even the New Testament, you know, when Jesus came on the scene, is to tell us, hey guys, we can't do it. That's the whole point. Jesus does it. And then the Holy Spirit in us, we can't remind you. You can put 10,000 plaques in your house and you can't remember his words day and night, but for the fact that the Holy Spirit is in us, he's the one who's actually doing it. He brings to remembrance. Sure, you can have signs kind of around the house. That's beautiful. That's nice. But that doesn't fulfill the law. Jesus does. He's done it. The Holy Spirit is in us. That's our sign on our forehead. That's the sign Right? That's the sign on our forehead. That's a sign that that's everything that we have. He's the Holy Spirit is the one that reminds us. The Holy Spirit that dwells in us is the one that teaches us day in and day out. We don't need all those signs. God has put it in us already. And my slide is delayed, but the whole point here, and I think I messed up on this thing right here. I'm going to show you guys this. Give me one quick second, okay? But the point is this. God fulfills his own laws. Right? I'm going to delete this. So, you guys see it again? Sorry, a little bit delayed. But the point of all of this is that God actually fulfills his own laws. He's the one who does it for us because the Israelites weren't able to do it and we can't do it. He's the one who comes and he sends his own son, Jesus, to fulfill the law that the Israelites can never fulfill, to fulfill the law that we can never fulfill ourselves. And he calls us to, instead of trying to fulfill the law, instead of doing that every day, because we can't do it, right? We keep on trying to fulfill the law, to remember it. Instead of that, I suggest that he is trying to have us to enjoy the laws rather than to fulfill the laws. Rather than trying to write it on your wrist, put it on your keyboard, listen to it every day. That's great. But from the angle of enjoying it, like David, right? You see David's in Psalm 119. He says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." He had the Holy Spirit in him. "Your commandment makes me wiser than any my enemies." And if you skip down in verse 103, he says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." So the whole point of this Shema, in the fact that it's pointing to Jesus, what Moses was saying is pointing to Jesus, is pointing us to the fact that he fulfills the law. He fulfills all of God's commandment, not us. We can't do it. But if we come under Jesus, we come under surrendering to the Holy Spirit, we actually get to enjoy God's law and not be tied down. And we actually get to know how great God's law is and how sweet it is. That's why Jesus says, "Come to me. My yoke is easy," right? "My burden is light." I mean, and yoke is actually yoke is actually a term for law. Is my law's easy because I've done it. If you come under me, you won't be under the law anymore. You won't have to try to do good. You get to enjoy being good because being in my presence, because I've done it for you. That's the big deal. And it releases us from all these unnecessary burdens that perhaps the Israelites were under. I mean, there's more to this, but, you know, I don't want, there's a lot more to this actually, but this is a glimpse into how everything is tied to Jesus, even from Deuteronomy. And we get to, and because of this great prophecy from Deuteronomy to the New Testament, we get to enjoy as people who are on the other side of Jesus' death and resurrection, that we get to enjoy his law. And we really get to enjoy the Shema and remembering rather than try to fulfill it. Don't try to, you can't fulfill it. You get to enjoy it. Am I lagging? If I am, I'm sorry.
You're fine, you're perfect.
All right, thanks. Any thoughts, guys? I know that's a lot of information, but I really hope that that it gives you some groundwork and some foundation to look into this and to some food for thought of how we are not under the law anymore. Where are you guys with this? Is it clear? Do you still have questions? Does it bring up anything that in your own, you know, thought process during the whole Shema series? Does it bring up any? It would help. It would help if you guys respond. And let me know where you guys are at. Help me today.
It's to my understanding, it's more, I didn't really think about God's law as being the yoke.
Yeah. So
we often hear, come to me, you know, my yoke is light. Not really understanding. I know the yoke is controls and directs the animal, right? It's put on the shoulder and directs it. And today it's more like you realize it, the God's law is the one directing us for our own good.
Yeah. And his yoke is easy. It's not actually that hard. I used to think it's very hard to follow his law. But it's actually very easy because Jesus did it. Yeah. All right, folks. Pastor Alex and I are thinking about where to go after this. I think if he wants to kind of go deeper into the Jesus, the messianism, there's also Jesus the King that's kind of alluded to in Deuteronomy. That's pretty fun too, but we may go to another book, maybe in the New Testament, for the last quarter. So we'll kind of reveal that in next week or the week after. If you guys have suggestions, let me know. Let Pastor Alex know.
Frank.
Yeah.
I really like that chart that you did earlier to show us how what a prophet's role is. I think that's helpful for people to visually see how he is a spokesperson of God and then to God's people, that relationship. And then why Jesus being the prophet is so significant to our life. There's so much to be said about that. But just what you said now, how about a chart for Jesus being the priest? And what is the role of the priest and Jesus being the king? And what is the role of the king to his people? And then how that ties into First Peter when we're now the chosen, you know, the holy priesthood, right? The royal priesthood and the chosen people. Because this is so rich right here. God and the prophet and his people, God and the priest and his people, and God and king and his people, and Jesus being prophet, priest, and king. That's not just the Old Testament concept. It ties into our lives today.
Yeah.
I benefit from this so much. And I think brothers and sisters do too. Frank, the reason why people are not saying anything is too rich, too good. It's like so full and don't even know how to process it yet. But like, how is Jesus in the Old Testament? And it's not just that, is how Jesus relates to the Old Testament. The whole entire Bible helps us today to appreciate who he is in our lives and what our role is in his kingdom. So that would be great.
Yeah, and there's actually a lot more. We will talk about that and how does that profit us in even in today's life. And, you know, Pastor James, as you're talking about it, you know, I remember that just our previous conversation about how do we teach the kids, right? It goes back to that. How do we teach the kids about the word being in flesh, that Jesus is the word? And I think it's to know in our daily life that he's in here. I know this very simple concept, but he's actually in our hearts. He actually is. That's what the Holy Spirit does, right? That's the word is actually in our hearts already. He put it in. That's the difference, because if he didn't, even if we have plaques and reminders on our phones, we wouldn't be able to understand it anyways. It wouldn't make a difference. So, you know, when I was talking to Jax and he asked where God is, you know, I had a hard time. I said this. Oh, he says, oh, where is that? I said, in the sky, even farther from the sky. And he said, oh. But then in reality, you know, after a few nights when I thought about it, I said, you know, God's here too. And he says, what? In here too? So you see, it's here and here. That concept is so... So that's the difference for believers, that he's actually here. He is actually here. And then because when I pointed here, he lent his ear to understand he's not so far away. In his little mind that he said, oh, God is with me, very close by. So this is where what the Holy Spirit does for us is that he's here for all the little kids. I know that's a lot to chew on. We'll keep chewing. We have plenty of time throughout the week. Next, also for this Sunday, let's keep at it. Because we know that the Spirit is in us and continue to move us along and teaching us and revealing to us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your son Jesus to that you have sent him because you love us and for our sake to be our sacrifice, to be our to be the one who fulfills that covenant and that promise for us, because we can't do it. But you love us so much that you sent your son to die for us so that we are able to hear from you, able to speak with you in direct dialogue and be your children and be the sheep that hears your voice. We thank you, and I pray that your Holy Spirit continues to move within us to use your words and to remind us of your words day in and day out, that we would come to love your word as David does. It's like, so that'd be like honey. It'd be so sweet to the taste, and that in the midst of what is going on in the world, that we are sustained by the sweetness of your word. And that is the gift of salvation and of our life. We lift Pastor Alex into your hands as he delivers the sweetness of your word this morning. May it contain power and transformation and unity and just a comfort to all of us as your people. We pray all this in your precious name. Amen.